Turn with me this morning, if you would, to Psalms 90. Psalms 90. We'll read the whole thing. Verses 1 through 17, Psalms 90. Lord, Thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever Thou was formed, hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, Thou art God. Thou turnest man to destruction, and sayest, Return, ye children of men. For 1,000 years in Thy sight are as but yesterday, when it is past, and as a watch in the night. Thou carriest them away as with the flood. They are as they sleep. In the morning they are like grass which groweth up. In the morning it flourishes, it grows up, and in the evening it is cut down and withereth. For we are consumed by thine anger, and by thy wrath we are troubled. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, and our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 70 years. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Who knoweth the power of thine anger? Even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long? And let it repent thee concerning thy servants. O satisfy us early with thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad according to the days wherein thou hast afflicted us, and the years wherein we have seen evil. Let thy work appear unto thy servants, and thy glory unto their children. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish thou the work of our hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands, establish thou it. Now this Psalms is not from David. This psalm is not from David. This is a prayer of Moses. The heading says, this is a prayer of Moses. Now, how this was handed down and David got it, it doesn't matter. This is a prayer of Moses. It's a prayer of Moses. Turn with me to Numbers chapter 12. Numbers chapter 12. Numbers chapter 12 and verse 3, just a little insight into our brother Moses, what the scripture says about him in verse 3, Numbers 12. Now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. We'll go back to our text in Psalms 90. But Moses, like every saved sinner, he had his problems. He had his secret sins, his detractions, yet God used him, we know from scriptures, God used him greatly and mightily until Moses' work was done. And then God took him home. God took him home. And that's the way it is throughout the whole scriptures. This, you know, we've been going through 2 Kings. This king the Lord raises up, and then he went to be with his fathers. He was buried with his fathers. This man rose up, and then He's the Lord took him. So this is the way it is throughout all scriptures, with all flesh. The Lord took Moses home. But Moses was a meek man. But there's a phrase and one verse that caught my eye and stuck with me deeply. And I would pray that we would all do well to heed our brother's advice. And that is in verse 12. Verse 12. So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Teach us to number our days. This is what I would like us to look at and consider this morning. And just look at, I have 3 points. The first point, teach us. The second point, apply our hearts to wisdom. And then what we're to learn. What we're to learn. So, in the first section, the first point in this message, so teach us. This is what Moses is saying. So teach us. Our brother is asking God to teach him. And this is what I want, one of the points that I want us to learn and take home by God's enabling grace and His Spirit. He's asking to learn from God. He's asking to be taught. And it's no wonder, because this word meek that we spoke of in Numbers chapter 12, it also means gentle. And in other places, it means teachable. So here's Moses saying, teach me. He's a meek spirit. There's none like him in the earth. Teach me. And to have this attitude to be taught of God is an amazing thing. It's an amazing thing. Whether we're a day in the Lord or whether we're 70 years, it is a beautiful thing to ask God to teach us. So he says, teach us. Let's look at this just for a minute. What Moses is asking Jehovah God is to learn more of his Savior or his Redeemer or the Sovereign. He's wanting to be taught more of who God is, what he is, where he's at. He's seeking guidance and desires to be led by the Holy Spirit. Teach us. Teach me. He's praying to be taught a most important lesson, which we'll get in a little bit later. But he's asking God to teach him a very important lesson. He's asking to be taught true wisdom and right knowledge so that he may not depart from it. And I like it what it says. He says, teach us. Teach us. But it's not just mere head knowledge. Look at that little further down in that verse. He says, teach us that we may apply our hearts. We may apply our hearts. More importantly, he's asking to be taught of heart. Now, you can't bypass the head from the heart, but you certainly can have head knowledge and not heart knowledge. You can certainly have head knowledge and not heart knowledge. And so it is in our text. He says, apply. Well, I desire you to be taught. I desire to know more of Christ. I desire to be taught from you, God, Jehovah, and teach, and that I may apply it to my heart, not just my head. So I believe, as faith, says James, without works is dead, so too is a head full of doctrine or truth without the heart in like manner. As faith without works is dead, so too is a mere head knowledge and not a heart knowledge. To ask to learn of the heart is to ask aright. It is to ask correctly, and is an ask in all seriousness from the pupil to his teacher. Now again, I can't do that. No man can do that. No matter how good of a teacher or preacher or pastor or elder or deacon or church member they are, they cannot install these truths in the heart. The Holy Spirit must take these words which are spoken from the book in truth, and it will go through the understanding. But if it doesn't reach the heart, there will be no application. So what is the end result? He's asking to be taught. He's asking to be taught from the mind, but the heart. And he says the last phrase in this verse, he says, apply our hearts unto wisdom. Now we know wisdom is in the scriptures is Christ. So the end result is to being taught to the whole man unto wisdom. The whole person here is seeking and learning and teachable with the end result of making or having wisdom to be the main object in view. Wisdom is Christ and all things concerning Christ. Okay? Wisdom. To be conformed to Christ, to have the fear of the Lord as its base, which we see in, I think it's Psalms 111, it's the beginning of wisdom. To have the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. So our beloved Moses is asking to be taught to in the heart, because out of the issues of the heart, you know, they're the issues of life. The heart, that's the issues of life. That's what we are concerning spiritual life. And he's asking to be specifically taught the wisdom of God. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 13. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom and the man that gets understanding. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 7. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. And that, I think it was Psalms 111, verse 10, is that passage I was trying to quote. Psalms 111, verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So God, he's asking like a little child, because the Moses was a meek man. That's teachable. That's gentle. So it doesn't make any difference how young you are in the Lord, or old you are in the Lord, or if you even know the Lord. Take this advice. Take this verse. Teach us. So teach us. And that I may apply it to my heart. What? About the weather? About history? These are all good things. They're needful things. About finances, yes, these are all good things. These are needful things if we're living this world. But that's not the main thing. With all you're getting, whether you know Christ or not, get wisdom. Get Christ. Ask him to teach you in the heart to not be sidetracked by all these issues. Political or other issues. We can make doctrinal things issues, but to get right at Christ. To get right at Christ. He's asking to be taught to be more like Christ in all of his character, in all of our reasonings, in all of our actions towards all men. Give me wisdom. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Anything concerning the scriptures. He's asking to learn in head and heart and in attitude what it is to be a sinner, to know our depravity. You know your depravity, you're going to seek wisdom. You're going to realize you have no wisdom. You cannot save yourself. You cannot understand the scriptures by yourself. He's seeking to understand God's holiness, sovereignty, and majesty. He's asking to learn the height, the depth, and the width of the Savior's grace and mercy and love towards us. This is all under the heading of wisdom. Apply our hearts unto wisdom. To experience in truth what it means to be freed from sin, Satan, and finally death's sting. Oh, that we may learn this truly and only and singularly. Because wisdom is the principal thing. Get wisdom. Now, what are we to learn? How are we going to learn this? Here we go. And this is not something that we like to hear. But nevertheless, the believer, he's asking to be taught from perhaps the gentlest, most teachable man in the scriptures. I don't know, but very, you know, he says he's more meek than anybody on the earth. This is what we are to learn as the main issue. So teach us to number our days. Teach us to number our days. Now, I could say, back off and say, well, it's okay to do this. I'm not even going to go there. I'm not even going to go there. The Lord give you wisdom on how do you want to interpret this. as correctly, as far as, well, do I need to do this? Do I need to shut everything down? I'm not going to go there. I'm just going to positively look at what he's saying. Teach us to number our days. In Barnes' commentary, he says this about this phrase. The prayer is that God would instruct us to estimate our days aright. Their number, the rapidity with which they pass away, the certainty that they must soon come to an end, their bearing on our present and future state of mind. If you know you're going to die next week, I suspect that you and I would change a few things. I suspect that we would act in an appropriate manner if we knew, but we don't know that. So that's not what he's talking about. The number, he's not talking about an arithmetic, adding together, I got this 4 score. No, we don't know. Each and every day, we are to ask this to be applied to our hearts, to teach us to number our days. To teach us to number our days. Jameson, Fawcett, and Brown said this, we may know, that he's saying that the prayer is that we may know or understand so as properly number or appreciate the shortness of our days that we may be wise. You know, we wouldn't be spending so much time on foolish things. And we do this. We have to live. We have to pay bills. We got to do all these things. But he's talking about, teach me, teach us to number our days. He says it in the New Testament, to we are to redeem the time because the days are evil. And there's so many more places in Scripture. It's good for me that I've been afflicted, that I might not go astray. To know as only our Lord can teach the shortness of our days, it's like vapor, he says. It's here today, it's gone tomorrow. He says in another place, it's like the grass. It's here today, it's withered tomorrow. It's like a shadow. It's here in the daytime, you can't see a shadow in the nighttime. To learn from the Master's hand and spirit that all flesh is grass, that the Lord reigneth, and that our Redeemer has fully and completely accomplished redemption. Turn with me to Job chapter 14. Job chapter 14. Now, Job, what do you have, 10 kids the first time, first go around, and their houses and all these different things, and he was fairly well-to-do. Everything is going great. He's worshiping God. He's giving us the evening sacrifice. And then he's in his home one day, and then a guy, porter comes in and says, the Chaldeans, they came and they got all your cattle. And then then another group came in and they grabbed this, they grabbed that. Then another guy came in and said, well, these other guys, they pillaged this and that. And then while he was yet speaking, another guy came in and said, there was a storm and all of your family was eating and being merry. And the Lord, and it just wiped out the house and killed everybody. And what did Job do? Well, he understood that day, if not before, I'm sure before, the brevity of life. And it said, Job worshiped God. Now, I'm not taking anything away from his grief to lose all your children-in-law. I don't know that kind of grief, but I'm saying in that, we weep like everybody else does, but not like the world does. In our time of affliction, in our time of our shortness of life, in a time we keep in mind that God is on the throne, and that, what did he say? The Lord gave, and the Lord's taken away. We are all just on loan here. Our children, our spouses, our parents, teach us to number our days. I'm not saying you can't have fun. I'm not saying you can't joke. I'm not saying you can't. I'm not saying any of this stuff. I'm just saying this is what the meekest man in the earth said. And we're about to look at what Job experienced. And yes, he sinned. He did. Yes, he did all that. But he saw God was on the throne. Look with me at Job chapter 14 in the first six verses. Man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. Few days. I go back to Job. When those porters came in, Job had, you know, he was wealthy. He had, I'm sure he had a lot of hired hands. He could have said, well, I'm going to get even with those guys. We're going to go out and nail them. No, vengeance is the Lord. He didn't do any of this stuff. He immediately bowed and worshiped God. And not only that, but I wouldn't have the strength after somebody came in and told me all my kids were gone or my one daughter was gone. I wouldn't have strength to get, after I thought about it, but the initial shock, I'd be flat, he dust and ashes and laid out. But he worshiped God. And that's why I do not understand. And Bruce and I have talked about this forever. When trouble hits a family who's been faithful, I hate to see it. All of a sudden they become less and less faithful. The best place you can be during a storm of trials and affliction is under the preaching of the gospel. Whether you're hearing anything or not, you've got other people of like faith, one heart, one mind, unified under the gospel of God's grace. Don't forsake it. Snuggle up. Even if it's with somebody in a pew, I can't hear what he's saying. I'm so grieved. But being outside, as Henry said, a lone sheep. Sheep by themselves are in danger. They're in trouble. They're weak. Or they may not know, but they're lost sheep. Because sheep are gregarious animals. Sheep gather together. You know, and then poor old Job, he's got his wife. This is your fault. Curse God and die. You know, so he didn't even have any help there. But look at this. Man is born of woman is few days. Oh, well, I've got 77. No. Ask Bruce and I. Looking back. Ask Melinda. Looking back. It's like that. It's gone. And we can't get it back. Few days and full of trouble. He cometh forth like a flower. Is cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow and continueth not. And dost thou open thine eyes upon such a one and bringest me into judgment with thee? Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Not one. Seeing his days are determined, the number of his months are with thee, thou hast appointed his bounds that he cannot pass. Turn from him that he may rest till he shall accomplish as a hireling his day. Man is full of trouble. He's a few days. Back to our text. So teach us. Teach us specifically. I want to be taught. And I want to be taught correctly. I want to be taught in the heart. And I want to be taught wisdom. Because that's the principal thing. He's the principal thing. He is that, you know, again, we want the best for our children and the most success for our children. But if that success, and I'm speaking out of passion, I'm speaking out of scriptural reasoning. If that success means it's going to take them to where there's no gospel and nowhere, and they're, oh, this, you know, it may be humanly when you get together at a party and you get together in a family or these high school reunions, it's bragging rights. But then when you leave, if you're a believer, you're thinking, that is so empty. Well, here's my friend, 20, 30 years old, working at Burger King, but the Lord saved him. There's no comparison. I don't think at all. So let us then learn the wisdom. Now, and there's joy of salvation, full and free, true and right. Apply our hearts unto wisdom. Christ himself teach us in the heart the happiness of believing upon Christ Jesus the Lord. It's always, you know, we're not gloom and doom. You know, hellfire and brimstone. There's joy in the Lord. There is no better joy that I can ever express. And you who know Christ understand. Yeah, we don't have this. Yeah, we don't have that. We don't have a multiple this or that. We, you know, having a hard time making ends meet. But we know the Lord. Does that, what does that account for? Well, scripturally, everything. Everything. Melinda and I, we've been doing a lot of reading. Most brethren are of the poor sort. Not many mighty, not many noble. That's our lot. That's usually the lot of those who know the gospel. Now, not always. So there is happiness. May we be taught, teach us the sweetness of true biblical freedom in Christ. Free from the power of sin. Free from the penalties and punishment of the law. Free to worship our God in spirit and truth. We may be like Bunyan, may be in prison, but not our spirit. Not our spirit. Free to serve Him now and in our eternal future. Free to enjoy life's sojourn while we're here. We have things He's given us to enjoy. We don't enjoy those above and beyond. That's why we can say, if the scriptures can say, if a person loves his mother, father, brother, any more than me, he's not fit to be my disciple. What is he talking about? You don't love these people? No, you love them, but you have sought wisdom with the heart, and that's what you want. That's the main thing. Matter of fact, people who don't know the gospel don't know how to love. They know how to lust. They know how to make babies. They know how to go the drink in excess, smoke in excess. We were, I don't know what little bitty town we were in, southwest Missouri the other day. We drove by, it was Cassville, wasn't it? A little bitty old town. And it had a municipal marijuana place going in business. I didn't even know they knew how to spell it. So that we know how to do all these lustful things. Because the lust of the eyes is never full. But oh, to enjoy life's sojourn with the brethren, with the church of the living God. That's why I keep saying, this is the family. This is a family. So we free to gather together. Teach us and forget about ourselves and looking to Christ and each other for help, assistance, and sweet fellowship. All with a mind's eye and a heart devoted to heaven, knowing that He will fetch us forth from this vile and worthless world. And He's going to do it, some of us, sooner than later. Sorrow? Yes, we have. A time of regret? I've regretted doing a lot of stuff. Sure we do. Heartaches and times of trouble? Absolutely. That's a part of living. Just because we're chosen of God does not mean we're chosen in the furnace of affliction. We looked at that last week or week before. But so teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts. It's a circle. Teach us that we may pray to You more, we may love You more, we may walk with You more. And if people are going to make fun of you. I mean, the certain age, and you get retired, it's just, you know, it's like, you start driving 20 miles an hour and a 50 mile, you don't care, you know, people. But when you're working in the world and you're involved in everything, stuff means things, stuff to you. And then when you make a stand for the gospel, whom your soul loves because He loved us, don't be surprised you get mocked. That's just what Matt read in Lamentations. You're going to get mocked. I know we want to be cool. I know we want to be ourselves and be the jokester and this and that. But teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. If we're taught, if we can but learn from the heart to number our days here, perhaps we won't be so caught up in the things of this world and its affairs and its entrapments. And we'll learn what it truly means to let the potsherds strive with each other. Let us serve and adore and worship our tender and kind Savior while we can, while we have the time. We are going to try to glorify our Lord and King And we will, by His good grace, apply these things to the heart unto His unerring wisdom. Being fully persuaded, all the believers throughout all time, Abraham, he didn't see, but he saw Christ's day and rejoiced. Fully persuaded that our God is on a throne, His purpose, whether for good or for evil, they say, it shall be done, and we are going to number our days here. Not putting any confidence in the flesh, but longing to finally be with our Lord evermore. So, and if you think this message was kind of rough, you need to listen to a message by Henry Mahan that prompted this whole thing. It is rough, but it was so good. It was so good. Teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. May God bless and add His blessing to the reading of the word. Matt, would you close, please?